Welcome. Ooh. A little lower, a little lower. Better? Ah, thank you. Welcome to worship this morning. If you are a visitor with us, we are glad that you're here. If you'd like to find out more about us, you can find us on Facebook and also on the internet. I have a couple of announcements. Give me a second. I have a couple of announcements for you. Before we begin, we have the Northwest Plains District meeting is set in your bulletin. You can find out more about that there. Rally Days is today. That means that next week is the beginning of our fall, and we're changing everything, so we're going to be here at 9:30. Then after church, we have Sunday school for all ages, and I'm really excited about that. I'm teaching a class. Mr. Reed is teaching a class, and then there's a class that gathers in the basement. And you are welcome. We encourage you to join us for a number of reasons for any one of those, and so we're hope that you would join us for those. Also, on Tuesday night, we have prayer here at 6:30, so we pray for the community. We pray for the needs that are in our bulletin. We pray for the church. We pray for all that kind of stuff. And so I encourage folks to join us here on Tuesday night at 6:30 for that. Wednesday choir, as usual. And Vicki, do you want to say anything about the book club? So the book is If, and it's for all the women who want to get together and have a kind of a lighter study, and it will be the following Saturday. And we are to be through chapter 10, but I bet that if you're not there yet, you can come anyway. That's right. So we'd love to have you join us for that. I believe the rest of our announcements. Are there any? Dick, do you have an announcement? Anything? Okay.
Pickle Jar, the first Sunday in November, is going to be for UMCOR for Hurricane Matthew. I realize that's 3 weeks away. If you feel the need to do something before that, use your white envelope and put it under UMCOR. But anyhow, we're going to try and help support UMCOR in their Hurricane Matthew relief.
Thank you. Yes, our bishop has put out a prayer for us as we think about the victims of Hurricane Matthew. And if you look at some of the places, particularly Haiti, some of those images are unsettling, and the devastation is strong. I also have one other announcement. And I need to make this announcement, and I will tell you that we're going to try something. Next week, like I said, is our first Sunday. The second service will be moving to 11:30 instead of 11:11. But next Sunday, we're going to meet together at the 9:30 time, and we're going to do a contemporary service for you. It's a one-time deal. It's not like we're not moving towards that. We're not doing that. It is an opportunity for us, thank you, to see how the mega churches and some of the contemporary churches do worship in a different way. And so I invite you to come and be a part of that for us next week. Any other announcements? Let's prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you. join me in the call to worship.
I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and was and is to come, the Almighty. Worthy is the Christ who has ransomed us by his blood from every tribe and tongue and nation, and made his people a kingdom of, and priests to our God.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come.
Amen. Gracious God, all glory and honor is yours. Be with us this morning. Remind us that we are called to be a part of this family and this community, and called to worship you in this hour and in this time, and called to share our faith with one another. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 714.
I love the Father, the Son, the Spirit.
As family of believers, we ask that you turn to your neighbor and pass the peace of Christ. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Did you hear that? I'm on. Good morning. I never make it
good
over
morning.
Here to you guys.
I'm going to go see
the husband. Oh, okay. Good morning. Good, good. Thanks. Yeah, better every day. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
They moved it. Somebody moved it. And Brett found it.
Yeah, yeah. Here's. Find our way back to our seat, I invite the children to come forward for the children's time.
Good morning. We got a good crowd here today. I'm glad to see everybody. We're going to talk today's rally day, and we've got a fun little treasure hunt coming up. Has anybody ever done a treasure hunt? Has anybody ever done one? Do you know what one is, Katie? You know what one is?
What is it?
Can you tell me? That's a scavenger hunt. Which actually, I wish I had thought of a scavenger hunt because it would have been a lot easier. A treasure hunt, you get clues and you eventually get a prize. And in this case, we're going to follow this lovely professional map that I have drawn. And Livy is in college, who is my architect, so you're stuck with what I can do. So, has anybody ever been on a journey? Does anybody know what a journey is? What's a journey, Cole? An adventure. You're right. It is an adventure. Or it's a trip. So if you go, like, has anybody ever been on vacation? Where you've, like, ridden in a car for a while and, yeah. So that's a journey. A vacation can be a journey. But some people talk about life and they say that life is a journey because of all the different things that we do. And life is a journey. And one of the things in your journey of life, I hope you guys get to experience, is Sunday school. And there were lots of journeys in the Bible, because that's what Sunday school helps you learn about the Bible. And I'm just going to name a couple of journeys that I know of just off the top of my head in the Bible. Some great journeys. The Hebrews were slaves and they in Egypt, and they got God got them out of being in slaves, and they traveled. They had a 40-year journey where they wandered around till they went to the place God wanted them to. So that was a really long journey. Ruth and Naomi, they had a big journey going back to where her people, Ruth's or Naomi's people were. And one of the journeys you guys might know about is it was a Christmas time journey. Mary and Joseph, does anybody know what town they had to travel to? What town? Bethlehem. So they took a journey, and it was not an easy journey. So that's another journey. And then Jesus took lots of journeys. He traveled all over preaching. And then right now in youth group for the high school kids, we're learning about a man named Paul from the Bible, and he actually took several journeys, and his first journey that he took as a Christian was over 1,300 miles walking. So he, or riding in a ship, which he got shipwrecked. It's a whole big adventure. I think we had it in Bible school one year, if you guys remember that. But so there's lots of journeys in the Bible. And like I mentioned earlier, that we can take a journey through life. And we can also take a journey as a Christian. there's basically, I think, two ways that you can take a journey with Jesus. One is if you let Jesus follow you on your journey in life and kind of just come along for the ride. But the second way that you can have Jesus in your life on your journey is to follow him and let him lead you through life. And I can tell you, I've done it both ways. And in the end, the better way is to let him lead and not let you lead him. So that's just something to think about for today. But I did want to talk about my map a little bit. This is a map of the basement of the church and all the rooms. And what we're going to do is, after church, we're going to meet out in the hallway out by the kitchen. And I'm going to give everyone a map. And I'm going to give you your first clue. And your first clue is going to tell you where to go for your second clue. And there's 10 clues in all. And if you get all the clues, follow all the way through, you'll know what to do to get your prize at the end. And so, if you're going to stay for rally day, just meet me out there by the kitchen and we'll get started. So I hope everybody has a great day, and let's gather around in a circle for prayer. Yeah, you guys got to come to me, sorry. I'm too old to come get up very fast. Can everybody hold hands? Can you take your hand? Can you hold my hand? Awesome, thank you.
Dear God, I pray that all of us choose to follow Christ in our journey of life so we may have the love, help, and grace that Jesus gives us. Amen. Sorry.
Can somebody volunteer for the mic? All right, Katie's going to do it. That was a fast hand. I love that. Oh, yeah, I forgot. You take two. I forgot. You guys know the drill. It's a good thing. You'd think I would after all these years, but I've never gotten to come up here and get one of these. I was too old to start with.
And as soon as you get your suckers, you can be dismissed.
You can go ahead and go back. Anyone come up in here? Here's two. Oh, you got yours, okay.
Oh, and even the high schoolers can go on the treasure hunt. Just saying.
All right, as the kids find their way back to their seats, we gather our prayers and our concerns and lift those up this morning. Do we have praises or prayer concerns from the community? Mr. Dave, back in the back.
Just a joy again. The bike-a-thon last Sunday, we had a great opportunity for fellowship and great time and great weather. And in the process, we raised a little bit of money, a little over $500 for the VMC. So thank you to everyone who participated or helped in any way.
Thank you.
I have a concern. Our friend and neighbor, Laura Scott, she's our age, kind of passed out at work Friday and found out she has a spot on her brain, so she's waiting to go to James to see what kind of testing and treatment they're going to be doing.
So it's Laura Scott.
My brother's birthday was yesterday.
Whose birthday? Luke's birthday.
The Alexa Bickle passed away that was in the automobile accident. Her family's really having a hard time with it.
Yeah, we are praying for Lexi and her family and the kids that were involved in the accident for the band on their way to the band practice in Rockford.
Yeah, I want to pray for the hurricane victims. And as I said last week, I have some relatives in New Smyrna Beach, Florida. I have not gotten word on any property damage or mess to clean up, but the important thing is they're at least all safe. And then also Sarah had a birthday this week.
Oh, happy birthday, Sarah.
I'd like to wish my dad a happy birthday this week.
Oh.
He's a little bit older than 70, maybe 10 years.
You're going to say that out loud.
I just want to extend a thank you to Coach Dave Bowen and all the organization he did for our walkathon, bike-a-thon deal, and also for Marianne and the Hall and Bob for their, wow, they really had us nice supper down there. Thank you so much for all that.
Thank you. I'd also like to announce as a praise that next Saturday at Trinity, they will be doing an installation of a new senior pastor. Janine comes from someplace, I think, down by Dayton area. She's 28 years old. She will be their new senior pastor. And we are just praying for their ministry and her ministry and that Trinity would be strengthened and grow. And that the community is welcome to see that. The way that the Lutheran Church does it is that as a person goes through seminary, as soon as they graduate, they put out a profile, and when they're called, as soon as they're called, they get a call, their first call, then they can be ordained. And so she's having her commissioning ceremony here next Saturday, and then her ordination on Sunday at her home church, and then she starts the following week as their new senior pastor. So we are grateful to have another member in the community, and that's something to keep in your prayers as well. Any others? Yeah, Tim.
Just a prayer for my mom, Sally. She is going to be going in for hip replacement surgery on December 2nd. And this week we start getting tests done to make sure she's okay for it.
Hip replacement?
Second one.
Oh, okay. Absolutely. Thank you.
Did you want to mention anything about the second hymn today?
The what?
Second hymn.
Yeah, we could add, just as a reminder, the last hymn that we'll be singing today is not what's in the bulletin. It's actually number 314, and so we'll be singing that instead. It was my mistake. And John?
Yeah, I had shoulder problems for a year or so, and it all went over her right grace. And so I'm very thankful for that.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Any others? Yeah, Kristen.
I have a C-section on Wednesday, so we can just pray that everything goes smoothly and that we have a healthy baby.
Absolutely. Kristen, we will have Walnut in the world on Wednesday. Awesome. Thank you so much. And one more.
Yeah, I'm glad to see Bob Wurtenberger back in church today, and it's a blessing to have him here.
Absolutely. Thank you. I know y'all applaud because I know something you don't know, and that's that Bob comes, when you don't see him here, you see he's at the second service. So he hasn't been missing. He's just not been at this service. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly and gracious God, Lord, I thank you for so many blessings today, for so many things to lift up, so many great things for birthdays, Lord, for all those who celebrate birthdays today. We give you thanks and praise. We thank you for the opportunity for a new ministry and a new beginning for Trinity, and ask that you would just bless them and that congregation as they continue to do your work in this community and that they would just embrace Jeanine and just really hold her close and love her as she comes into the community. We thank you for the chance to have bike-a-thons and things to enjoy the weather that also, Lord, provides a way for us to be in service that helps change the world and at least this corner of the world and this community. Lord, we thank you for healings that you do amongst us, and particularly, Lord, for John's shoulders. We know that you are the great physician and that you bring healing to us, and we're so grateful for that. We pray, O gracious God, as we look forward to more blessings, that you would just be with Kristen and her family and Dan, Lord, and just surround them this week, Lord. What an exciting time it is. And we know, Lord, that it can also be one of those trying times. And so as family, we just support them in prayer and just know, Lord, that you are there with them and what a great blessing that is. And so we rejoice. We rejoice with them as part of the family. Heavenly Father, we also pray, have places where we just want to express our brokenness and know, Lord, that we are so hurt by tragedies in the community. And so we pray for Lexi and her family. We pray for the two other young people who are still struggling with health from this accident, Lord. We know, Lord, you didn't cause the accident. You didn't take Lexi, but that things happen, and we live in a broken world. But you were with her as she needed you the most. Oh, gracious God, we pray for the victims of Hurricane Matthew. We'd ask that you be with those and the family members who have lost loved ones. We pray for the devastation in an already poverty area. We can't imagine, O Lord, life in such a fragile condition, in huts and tin houses that are wiped away repeatedly by earthquakes and storms and hurricanes. Help us, O Lord, to love those folks and to keep them in prayer. We pray for Laura, Lord, Laura Scott, and that you would just be with the doctors and reveal exactly. We pray against its tumor, Lord, that it might not be a tumor, but it be something that the doctors can deal with. And we pray for your presence to be with her and to be with her family as she goes through this. And for those that know her and care for her. We pray, Lord, for Sally and for the doctors to be able to restore her to full health and this healing this hip. We pray that the tests go well and that everything is in line for that, O gracious God. We have so many things, so many places. There's so many things on our hearts and in our minds, both personally and in this community. We are overwhelmed, Lord, by the strength that it takes just to get through the day. So we would ask, O gracious God, that you would hear the prayers of our hearts and speak to us in this moment. Joy fills our hearts, O Lord, especially as we hear the sounds of children in and amongst us, gracious God. We would pray, Lord, for all of those that live in third world countries that have poverty, and even for the poverty in our own country, gracious God, that you would help us to make a difference where we can. And together, we know that we can do more than we could ever do alone. And so we pray the prayer that's prayed around the world and around the country today, the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to join me in our Psalter reading that is found in the hymnal on page 776. Blessed are those who consider the poor. The Lord delivers them in days of trouble. You do not give them up to the will of their enemies.
The Lord sustains them on their sickbeds. In their illness, you heal all their infirmities.
As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you.
My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die, and his name perish?
Those who come to see me utter empty words, while their hearts gather mischief. When they go out, they tell it abroad.
All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine
They say a deadly thing is fastened upon him. He will not rise again from where he lies.
Even my bosom friend in whom I trusted, who ate of my bread, has lifted a heel against me.
But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up that I may repay them. But you have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen.
Blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel, from whom all things come and all gifts are given to us. As we give back to God just a portion of what he's blessed us with. Can I have the ushers come forward, please? Accept these offerings, O God, as gifts of our hearts. Bless them in their intent to honor you with our bodies, our souls, minds, and hearts. Put these gifts to work in our community so that all may see the light that comes from your love. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Tell you that, you know, this is one of the dangers. They told me not to do anything, you know, like make any big decisions or do any public speaking while I was still on medication. And clearly, this has been one of those things. I noticed that people were going to their hymnals as we were doing the Psalter reading. And I thought, well, that's great. People are like actually taking their hymnals out. And I realized that I'd gone to the wrong Psalter. And that I look up and I see Tim doing this at me. And I apologize for that. But you guys were so good. You just followed right along. Nobody missed a beat. You just kind of picked up and did what, you know, went with the flow of things. So I appreciate that. And I also want to tell you that, you know, we're not done yet. So I may need to have more grace and faith as we go on. So this is the time that I have a second that I can talk to you about what God has put on my heart. And it's been really interesting. In the last couple of weeks, I've been doing my studies and I've been reading. And, you know, if you're like me, sometimes I'll be reading the Bible, I'll be reading something that I've read 100 times, 1,000 times. And then all of a sudden, something stops me. And I'm like, I can't get past it. Can't get beyond it, and I can't get past it. And I'm like, I got to know more about this. It is, you know, really just is something that grabs my attention. And that's where the sermon came from this morning, was this out of my studies and out of my scripture reading. I'm reading Acts 1:1, which is something that we've all read and we've gone through. And I usually read through it like, blah, 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 okay, this is, you know, we get to know stories so well. But then I read the line that Jesus gave to them many evidences and proofs that he was alive. And it seems so weird that it's in that place, that it's in that text, that it's in the middle of that. And I thought about the two words that this morning I want you to think about as we go through the sermon. Witness and evidence. And I thought about, you know, the way the Bible is put together is really interesting. I thought about witnessing and evidencing, and I thought, you know, if we were all at the village last night and we all had dinner together, and all of a sudden in one corner of the restaurant Mrs. Smith begins to choke on something, she's having a Mama Cass moment, whatever. And everybody tries to get up to help her, but nobody can, and she's still choking. And then Mrs. Jones gets up, she runs over, she's a nurse, she does the Heimlich maneuver perfectly, the whatever she was choking on comes out, and her life was saved. It was spared. I mean, it got down to the minute. We were holding our breath watching that. Who amongst us walks out of that situation and does not say a word? Who walks out and doesn't say, never mentions it again? My guess is that before we've even left the restaurant, we're saying to each other, wow, did you see that? Boy, man, that was a close one. Thank goodness Mrs. Jones was here. What, you know, we didn't know what to do. We kind of watched it happening. I didn't hear the noise over there. Did you hear the noise? When did you hear it? And then we would go out. My guess is we wouldn't stop there. That we would go home and we would tell anybody who wasn't with us, hey, man, you can't believe what happened at the village the other night. And then it wouldn't stop there. We would probably spend the rest of the week saying, oh, did you hear about the village? Mrs. Jones, a real hero. And it might even go in the newspaper. My guess is that we just couldn't stop ourselves from witnessing something because it was a big deal. Yet in contrast, there's never been any bigger deal, any bigger thing in the course of history than the resurrection. And we barely say a peep. We can hardly get words out to people we know and love about this incredible event. And yet that's exactly what we're called to be. Witnesses. Witnesses based on the evidence. Public witnesses. So if you brought your Bible with you this morning, I want you to go ahead and get that out. I invite you to take it out. We'll be looking at the first book of Acts, like I said. And while we do that, I just want to mention a couple of things about the structure of the Bible. You know, I always am amazed at the New Testament, how it's laid out intentionally. The first four books of the Bible are what? I heard the Gospels. We got the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are the historic content. These are eyewitness accounts of people who were there and recorded historic events about life with Jesus and Jesus' ministry. Then we have all these letters that are letters from the saints. Most of them, Paul, but there's others. There's Peter, There's John. There's a writer to the Hebrews and others. And these are like our textbooks to faith. These are more like folks who, a lot of the writers were folks who never saw Jesus, but they saw the evidence. And they knew people who knew Jesus. And they, too, were called to witness and to attest to and to learn how to absorb in what their faith meant. And in between those two, in between all of the letters and the Gospels, we have the book of Acts. You know, it's interesting, without the book of Acts, none of the letters make any sense whatsoever. Without the book of Acts, we don't know who Paul is. We know who Saul is because we saw Saul persecuting the Jews or the Christians and all those that were believers. We know that he was angry about this movement called the Way and he was doing anything to stop it, but we don't know that Paul is Saul until we go through Acts. So we have this. So I want you to open your Bible. This is our reading. It brings to us the reading this morning. Acts 1, 1 through 11. In my first book, that would be the Gospel of Luke, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up into heaven. After giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit, during the 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. And once he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave to Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift that he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, the time has come for you to free Israel. Has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" And he replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. And they are not for you to know. But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Well, it takes on those were the words that stopped me in this, and it takes on a different meaning. If you think about it, it says that the Lord appeared to them over 40 days, showing that he was fully alive. Now, I don't know about you, but I think sometimes we're tempted to think about the resurrection of Jesus, that he comes as some kind of shadowy figure or some kind of like spirit form. But the Bible tells us that he came, and he came to them as fully alive, just like you and me. In fact, he ate with them, he talked with them, he taught them all the things that a living human being would do. And so we might wonder why is that so important for us? Why is it that the book of Acts wants to make sure that we know that Jesus resurrected? And why is it that we need to tell people about it? Well, the critical thing for us is the atonement. That without the resurrection, Jesus becomes another Gandhi. Without the resurrection, Jesus was a good leader. He was a great, people will say he was a great teacher. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe if he, you know, I don't know any cases where Gandhi went around and intentionally told untruths. So at best, Jesus was a good teacher. At worst, he was a liar because he said he was coming back. He said he'd rebuild the temple in 3 days. He made promises to the disciples and to those that listened that he was the Messiah. So the resurrection was imperative Think about it. When we leave off of the Gospels, we know that Jesus died at the hands and was persecuted by the religious rulers. It looks like plan A didn't work out so well. There was no plan B. So we need the last chapters of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the book of Acts to reassure us, to prove to us that Jesus was who Jesus said he was. Because atonement is only achieved through resurrection, through the resurrection. So, as I was thinking about that, we know we've got the resurrection, and we are called to be witnesses. It is up to us to be witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. So I thought, well, maybe I better look up and see what the word witness means. Now, the word translated witness from Greek is actually, the Greek word is martyr. Did you know that? That puts a whole different term, a spin on the term martyr. But the Greek word is martyr, and it translates into witness, and the dictionary defines it as this: a person who testifies under oath at trial with a firsthand or expert evidence useful in a lawsuit. The second definition is a person who has seen or experienced an event verifying the event. In this sense, the book of Acts provides for us the evidence. It is the proof. It is the evidence that we need. And boy, don't we like proof. We always are looking for, I need to have proof, prove it. We're like from the, what is it, Missouri? The show me state, yeah. So we have this text this morning that says that Jesus reappeared and that he rose from the dead. He appeared to the disciples and that he gave all these convincing evidences. Now, I don't know about you, but that's really good news. It's good news to have proof and evidence for us to be able to be witnesses. Well, if you're like me, that should have been a mind-blowing statement. If we are to choose faith based on the evidence, there is no lack of it in the Bible. In fact, if we were to vet Jesus like we vet our political candidates, everything that would be uncovered or discovered would be nothing but good news. It would do nothing but get bigger and better. John wrote in his gospel, he wrote at the end in chapter 20, he said, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of the disciples or eyewitnesses, which are not recorded in this book. And then at the very end of his gospel, he said, if every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Imagine that. So many other things, so many other evidence, so much other proof is given to us that happened that are not recorded, that John says, heck, if they were recorded, if we knew, if we took time to write them down, there would not be enough space in all the world to fill the volumes that would be written about it. So again, it's part, remember in the witnessing where it said that you could either be an eyewitness or an expert. So this is what I want you to take away this morning. We are called to be witnesses. We were not eyewitnesses. We weren't there. We didn't see it. As much as I'd love to say that Jesus came to me in the same way that he came to the disciples for those 40 days, but he didn't. But we can be experts. We can be witnesses based on the evidence and experts. How many of us are experts in Jesus? Man, I'm telling you, I could not even. I did this to get you guys to raise your hands. But even I can't. But I think that that's a crime for us. We are, as Christians, You cannot, do you know you cannot be a Christian without being a witness? It's connected. It's intimately connected because Jesus said again and again, you're called to be witnesses to me around to all of the ends of the world. So why aren't we? Why is it that we have that weird reaction? Instead of being like at the village and wanting to go around telling everybody, hey, you know what? I know that that Jesus was a guy that lived. He was a son of God. He died. He proved it. He rose again. He showed up to over 40 days to over 500 people, gave many evidences, undeniable evidences and proof that he was fully alive. And yet we don't. We don't. So my guess is part of the reason is that we're kind of afraid to. We kind of worry. We're like, well, you know, I don't know. If I start saying that, then maybe somebody will ask me more questions that I don't know how to answer. They'll ask us something and we'll give a wrong answer to it. So I think the number one answer why we don't witness is because we're afraid. We're afraid because we really have not been good about being expert witnesses. And so my hope and my prayer is that my message for us is today is that you can trust in the message of the Gospels. Sometimes I think we believe in Jesus. We come to church, we're like, yeah, I believe I'm just going to kind of I'm just going to say it because I want to I want to get into heaven at the end. But yet we're afraid ourselves to question, to really look, does it hold water? Is it true? If I really look at it, is it going to make sense to me? Can I really make heads or tails out of it? Now my answer to you is yes. Absolutely yes. There's evidence and there's proof. I hear people telling me all the time, and I'm sorry, I was a science major in school. I can't believe in that kind of stuff. I'm like, really? I was a science major too. And I have looked at all the evidence. And it's all verifiable. So here's what I want. I want us to become experts. Experts in the field of knowing our faith and knowing the hope that we put in Jesus. So how do we do this? You read. You read and study your Bible. Think critically about it. When you're reading it, don't just read it like it's a homework assignment that you got to get through. It's what our temptation is to do all the time. But ask critical questions to it. It's okay. You can do that. It will stand up. Trust me. There's an old rabbinical saying that said that the student should walk so closely with the rabbi that they would be covered in the dust of the rabbi's feet. Find somebody who can be a teacher for you. Be close enough to Jesus that you're covered in his dust as you study and as you look at it. Remember in the gospel, Philip? He is brought by God into the middle of the desert and he encounters this eunuch. He's on his chariot and he's reading the Bible. And Philip says, you know, he stops when he sees Philip. And Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch says, how can I understand it if I have no one to explain it to me? The Bible is the same way. You know, I have people that tell me, oh, I tried to read it cover to cover. Or I tried to read it and I didn't get it. I couldn't understand it. Find a study group. So I'm so excited about our Sunday schools coming up. That we need to find a Sunday school group or someone who can explain it to us. Another way is to pray. I guarantee you that if you are reading your scripture and you're praying, it will totally transform your prayer life. And God will open up new understandings. Worship. Worship with the heart to please God. Worship and know that God is present with us. And that will change your whole worship experience. And then finally, service. That when we are obedient to God and serve others, are engaged in ministries, I can guarantee you that God reveals himself in and through those experiences that you will have. I know you can ask anybody who's been on missions, anybody who's done that, and they will affirm that for you. God opens up new realities for us when we serve. Now, none of us are able to say that witnessing is not something we need to do. It's not my responsibility to witness. It is part of being a disciple. It is part of being a Christian. So I encourage you as you go forward to think about that, to know with all assuredness that no matter how deep I look into the scriptures, no matter how far I take my questioning, it can take it. It will stand up to logic and evidence and proofs. And then we can become experts and begin to fulfill our call to witness to all the world. Let's pray. Heavenly gracious God, I give you thanks for this day. I know that we have chased that rabbit in a bunch of different directions this morning. But Lord, I pray that our takeaway is that you gave us as many evidences as we need to know the truth contained in our scriptures and to trust that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, our Lord and our Savior. As we sing, He is my Savior, we can believe it with all of our hearts and trust in it. And we can tell. We can go and tell a world that hasn't heard the news that we believe in a God that loved us so much He gave His only Son for us, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 314. I invite you to stand. Andy walks in the garden.
Thank you.
a truth you can count on. Jesus is alive. Go and be witnesses to the truth, being sure in all of the evidences and proof. Go in peace, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.